The first reading for this evening from the book of the prophet Habakkuk, the third chapter. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it, in the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, Selah. His brightness was like the light, rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered, the everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was your anger against the rivers, your indignation against the sea, when you rode on your horses, on your chariot of salvation? You stripped the sheath from your bow, calling for many arrows, Selah. You split the earth with rivers, the mountains saw you and writhed, the raging waters swept on. The deep gave forth its voice, it lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their place, at the light of your arrows as they sped, at the flash of your glittering spear. You marched through the earth in fury, you threshed the nations in anger, you went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck, Selah. You pierced with his own arrows the heads of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. To the choir master with stringed instruments. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Our third reading this evening is from the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, Part 5. Calvary. The soldiers now had charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out of the city to a place called Skull Hill, in Hebrew, Golgotha. As they led him away, they laid hold on Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, who was coming in from the country. On him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Following him was a great company of people and of women who bewailed and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. The days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never gave suck.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things with a green tree, what will happen with a dry one?" There were also two others, criminals, whom they led along to be put to death with him. When they came to the place called Golgotha, they gave him wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. It was the third hour, and there they crucified him. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The two criminals they also crucified with him, one on his right, the other on his left, with Jesus in the middle. The scripture was then fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they cast lots to divide his clothes and decide what each should take. They made four parts, one for each soldier. There remained his tunic, which was without seam, woven in one piece from the top to the bottom. They said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide who shall have it." The scripture was thus fulfilled, which says, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." These things the soldiers did, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Over his head was put the charge against him. Pilate wrote the notice to be put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title was read by many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. The chief priests of the Jews then said to Pilate, "You should not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." People stood by watching. Those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross, that we may see and believe. He trusts in God, let God deliver him now, if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." The thieves who were crucified with him also reviled him, and one of the criminals who hung there with him railed at him, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are getting what we deserve for what we have done. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Near to the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to his disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of them that were standing there heard it, they said, "He is calling for Elijah." After this, Jesus knew that all things were accomplished. Fulfilling the scripture, he said, "I thirst." There was a jar of wine standing there. One of them ran immediately to get a sponge. He filled it with wine, put it on a reed, held it up to his mouth, and gave it to him to drink. Others said, "Wait and see if Elijah will come to save him." When Jesus had received the wine, he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." Then he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion who stood facing him saw how he died, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." All the people who had gathered to see the sight, when they saw what had happened, turned away beating their breasts. Those who had known him stood at a distance, as also the women who had followed him from Galilee. Among them was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Younger and of Joses, and Salome the mother of the sons of Zebedee. It was the day of preparation before the Sabbath, and this was Passover Sabbath. Therefore, so that their bodies should not remain on the crosses during the Sabbath, the Jews asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies removed. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. And at once there came out blood and water. One who saw it is our witness, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, that you also may believe. These things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. And again another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. By this time evening had come. A respected member of the council, Joseph of Arimathea, was one who was looking for the kingdom of God, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their purpose indeed. He was the disciple of Jesus secretly, for he feared the Jews. Now he took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was astonished that he could be dead already. He called for the centurion and asked him whether Jesus was already dead. When he was assured by the centurion that it was so, Pilate granted Joseph the corpse and commanded that it be given over to him. Joseph brought fine linen and came and took the body of Jesus. Nicodemus came also bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. It was he who had first come to Jesus by night. They then took the body of Jesus and wrapped it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb where no one had ever been buried. Joseph laid the body in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and departed. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, were sitting there opposite the sepulchre and saw where he was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day they rested, according to the commandment. On the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees went together to Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days I will rise again. Therefore command that the sepulchre be made secure until the third day, to stop his disciples from coming and stealing him and saying to the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' making the final deception worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go and make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Lent response from the top of page 231. Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord my God.
Rescue me from my enemies.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For our final midweek contemplation of the book of Habakkuk, I've chosen to take
the entirety of chapter 3 at once, to look at it as a psalm. I use the word psalm deliberately. Everything about this prayer of Habakkuk indicates that it was written in order to be sung and contemplated by God's people in the same way as the psalms were. The heaviness of the prophetic message is now complete. It ended with Habakkuk's announcing that God is in his temple. And since God is in his temple, now his people join in singing to the Lord. And the song begins with remembering what God has done. O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was your anger against the rivers, or your indignation against the sea? When you rode on your horses, on your chariot of salvation, you stripped the sheath from your bow, calling for many arrows. Selah. This first section of Habakkuk's psalm brings to mind the days of antiquity, in which the people of God were brought out of the land of Egypt into the land of Sinai, and then ultimately into the promised land. Teman, mentioned here, is the eastern part of Edom. Mount Paran is a mountain in the area between Edom and Egypt. So in specific, what this is recalling is that time period at the end of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, when God's people Israel are being prepared for their great and final task of claiming the promised land. In those days, the enemies of God saw his wonders and works firsthand. And as Habakkuk writes these words, the greater part of a millennium has passed by since the days of Moses. He's heard many times from the word of the Lord what God did back then. And as the Babylonian invaders come closer, and look like they're about to destroy Judah, simply in faith, Habakkuk is wondering if God might just do it again. In this sense, we're not that different from Habakkuk. We have the blessing of God's word written down, faithfully passed along from generation to generation. The study of ancient manuscripts has shown the faithfulness which scholars and scribes from generation to generation have had in their transcriptions. There are no scribal errors which ruin in any way the central message of the scriptures. The word of the Lord has endured. Compared to any other ancient manuscript, we know more about the scriptures. And in our own day, we hear the message of the Lord as well. We have such great resources by which to hear, and indeed also tell the greatness of the Lord to others. And yet it feels like we're so far away from the days of old. And as the world around us feels like it's falling apart more and more, runaway inflation, wars and rumors of wars, disasters here, there, and everywhere, so on and so forth, we can sure feel like Habakkuk. Lord, we've heard of your deeds of old. Can you do something like that today? Put an end to all this evil around us. Make your ways to be known in our land and in our homes. Second section of Habakkuk's prayer is as follows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. The raging waters swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their place at the light of your arrows as they sped, at the flash of your glittering spear. You marched through the earth in fury. You thrashed the nations in anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. Selah. The Lord goes out to save his people. This is one of the themes as well as our other set of readings for today, as we commemorate this being 9 months before Christmas, that God indeed sends forth his Son. Mary hears God's word through his angel, believes, receives. God's salvation plan is brought into effect as Christ is born of woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, as it says in Galatians. God has always battled on behalf of his people to save them from their enemies. And there are no greater or more potent enemies we face than the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. You know this as well as I do, that the opportunities for ignoring and breaking God's law abound in this life, and that far too often you and I fall prey to temptation and give in. This unholy trio does the worst against us. They want us to lose that connection to Christ and so to be lost forever. And it is this unholy trio whose reign of terror Christ came to overthrow, to crush forever. The whole of creation groans waiting for God's salvation, as Romans 8 notes, and now in these final days of Lent, the end is near. Or rather, the beginning is near. For Christ comes to his cross in order to crush the head of the house of the wicked. Christ goes to the grave to give true rest to his people. Christ rises from the dead to bring eternal life to all who trust in him. And this then brings us to the third and final section of this psalm. You pierced with his own arrows the heads of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. I hear, and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Habakkuk is convinced, through faith, that just as God brought an end to the enemies of God in the days of old, so he will do again. Habakkuk may not be feeling it at the moment. At the moment, everything's falling apart. His body is trembling, his lips are quivering, his bones are weak, his legs are trembling. Yet, he knows the Lord is with him. Even in the midst of this trial and struggle, even in the heart of the suffering, the Lord is with him. And he will wait for the Lord to do what he has promised he will. This is a callback, if you will, to chapter 2, verse 4 of Habakkuk. The righteous shall live by his faith. Judah's sin has caused its downfall. The Chaldeans, the Babylonians, are coming to be the punishing rod. Things are going to be awful. And yet God is still with us. God is still with me, Habakkuk believes. God is still with you and me today. Even when the fig tree doesn't blossom, when the grapevines fail to produce, when the olive trees are barren, when all your crops fail, when your flock of sheep wander off and get lost forever, when your cattle herd wastes away, rejoice, Habakkuk says. Even when everything in your life is going wrong and blowing up in your face, rejoice, Habakkuk tells us. Why do you rejoice? because the Lord God is still with you. He is your cause for joy, even in the midst of the greatest trials and troubles you may face. Things are going to just be rotten at times in this world. Sin has the upper hand in a world which is broken and ruined. As long as we live here, there are going to be wicked people doing wicked things. As long as we live here, there are going to be floods and fires and earthquakes. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be all these sorts of things Jesus told us would come as we get ever closer to the end of this present world. And yet Habakkuk reminds us not to focus on our trembling weakness, but rather on the strength of the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Dear friends in Christ, in the midst of all that really is wrong in this world, turn your eyes back to the Lord, to what He has done, to what He has given. His strength is more than sufficient for your weakness. As Habakkuk found 2,600 years ago, so we also find today. God hears your every call of distress. Your loving Father in heaven answers you in your distresses. God, your gracious and merciful Lord, gives to you and me the strength that we need by forgiving your sins, by calling you back to the promise He made you in your baptism, by the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus' own body and blood, and by the mutual conversation and consolation of the brethren. That is to say, these times when we get together as God's own people to help each other out and to encourage each other. I don't know what everybody here is dealing with, but if things are hard now, believe that a better day is coming. For God has promised. He will make you to run like the deer, to climb up to His rock of shelter. And in that shelter of His grace and His mercy, you will find your true and your lasting rest. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.